Stay connected to Boston sports.
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 98.5 thesportshub.com. It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Toucher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Feels good to be a gangster. A real gangster type player plays his cards right. A real gangster type player never runs his mouth, cause real gangster rides.
98.5 to Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich.
Always got a high cap.
You know, Adam, I lost my virginity to the Geto Boys' debut album.
Now, really?
It's debatable if it's the debut album. But it was the... Yeah.
It was your debut, if you will.
Yeah, it was the one with Gangster of Love and those in that kind of stuff. I was in my bedroom.
Was it intentional? Were you like, I got to make sure this is playing, or did it just kind of happen?
I was so nervous that I felt like the Geto Boys, the way that they handled the whole sexual relations thing was going to garner me some confidence.
Got it.
But then I had to leave my house because there was some scuttlebutt going on downstairs, and I had to go to my friend's house, and the girl said, put down the blinds, turn on the fan, turn off the lights, I'm not taking my shirt off. So
and you said, I'll meet you halfway, great.
Yeah, it was
I'm not
gonna
complain.
It took about like 4 hours to get everything working. But nonetheless.
You can blame the Geto Boys for that, you know?
Well, the Geto Boys wasn't playing at that point.
Oh,
No, it was more a quiet desperation to see if I could actually perform. That was a little bit of a wet noodle.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I was nervous.
Yeah.
I was 15 years old. I was nervous.
You know, you know, happens. Overthink things a little bit.
Yeah.
Get inside your own head.
Oh, yeah. I had everything going.
Hey, this is happening now.
Yeah.
I know you're an Always Sunny fan. I think that happened to Charlie at one point. All of a sudden, he's just kind of like, hey, this is all happening right now.
Yeah.
Get inside your own head.
Did he ever end up having sex with the waitress?
I don't think it was the waitress. It was some... Did they have a prostitute at one point?
There has been prostitutes on the show. That Danny DeVito proposed to one who died.
Yep, that was tough. Yeah, his pretty woman, yes. Yes.
Yeah, and she liked the jacket because it fit a certain way.
Yep.
In that one.
Yep.
All right, Malcolm Butler. He has signed a huge deal with Tennessee. And by the way, congratulations to the Patriots to bringing Devin McCourty's brother in.
Yeah.
He seems like he'll be a pretty big factor.
Two men, one Twitter account, yeah.
By the way, I looked because I was curious. I have the NFL Sunday ticket, and I never watch the Cleveland Browns. No one watches Cleveland Browns. So I checked Pro Football Focus because I was very curious. They rank all the defensive backs. According to Pro Football Focus and Bleacher Report, Jason McCourty had a better season than both Butler and Gilmore.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's stupid.
And he's making, what, $2, $3 million for one season.
Can I ask you, how does Pro Football Focus figure these things out?
I have no idea. They come up with like a numerical value, and you have no idea how they got to it. But apparently Jason McCourty, had a better season at cornerback than the two Patriots starting cornerbacks last year.
Without Jason McCourty, imagine where they would have
exactly.
been last year. Yeah.
I don't know how you judge that
yeah.
in a vacuum like Cleveland, but... I'm just reporting the news here. I didn't know how they came to it. First and second picks. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah. I'm always fascinated how they rank these guys. So,
I have no clue.
So someone sits and watches every snap from every player?
Yes.
And then tracks it.
Yes.
Yep. And they're like, great coverage there, Jason McCourty.
Yeah. UZR rating for an infielder. You're really never quite sure how they come to that number, but there it is.
No, that UZR is all subjective. I mean, that's...
Well, so is this.
That's what I'm saying. Is
it's 100%. So somebody thinks Jason McCourty's better than Stephon Gilmore and Malcolm Butler, or played better last
year. Yes.
Well, that's
Crumple
those ratings up.
Advanced metrics for cornerbacks. Jason McCourty ranked high?
What do you think life is like? I mean, as much as you like football.
I don't know.
What do you think life is like to sit in a room and say you love football? You can't get enough of it.
Yep.
Okay, I'll give you an example. I worked at CNN Sports Illustrated, and I thought I liked sports.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But,
At CNN Sports Illustrated.
Yeah. I was part-time, and I would have to log the games.
That sounds miserable.
And send things to the editor, and you know who the editor was?
Who?
Man by the name of Willie Geis.
Oh.
You know who he is?
Bit of a hot shot.
Bit of a hot shot.
I know the answer to this. Show. We've had this discussion before. So.
Yeah, I saw him, and then I said, who the hell do you think you are being better than me? But I would log the games, and I would think that, this is great. I'll watch sports,
yep,
and I'll log the games, and then you go, hey, there's a Seattle game. First pitch is at 10. Lou Piniella trotting out.
Yes, there's seven relievers.
Trotting out right. A kid. He hasn't he's had some success in the Japanese league.
Yep. You're like, oy.
You're going to give that. And he walked the bases loaded. It's 4 a.m.
Yep.
And so you realize quite.
You just get one game, and you'd have to you'd watch that and log that the whole time.
And then so every time,
so however long that game goes for, you're stuck with it.
I'd log every pitch. If they showed like something from the dugout, I would have to log that because they're doing highlights. Anything that I had to log balls and strikes, then I had to log
why.
In
case they want to show the highlight of all three.
It was probably some kind of mad scientist seeing how much they could destroy your life. But if you're from Pro Football Focus, as much as you like football, that has to be the most miserable existence on the planet.
Very tedious.
Yeah, my theory about that is you can love football as much as you want, but I'm thinking there are some positions on the field, like slot cornerback ratings, they have to physically lock a guy in a room because he's banging on the door to get out after 3 hours of tape. I don't think that's a willing thing. That's one of those things low guys on the totem pole are stuck with.
And then how is that enjoyable to anyone reading it?
Yeah, Pro Football Focus is a tough read. I'll glance at, like you just said, you looked at a list of rankings.
Yeah,
like I'll glance at that, but they're a tough read. They're like, well, this was a plus block, and this guy, two gap.
No, look at rankings. Like we've had discussions about offensive lines, and we were discussing Russell Wilson and how Seattle had the worst ranked offensive line.
Yeah, you could. That's fine.
That's something you can talk about and use it as a jumping off point. But how they get to that, I have no clue. And I defy.
I don't think they really know.
A 999 out of 1,000 people to figure that out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Butler was crying during the Super Bowl national anthem. And then after the game was lost, Malcolm Butler was in the Patriots locker room in line with his peers for a final team checkout. Bill Belichick approached him and said, "You're a fighter and good luck in the future." Said, "Thank you." And they've not spoken since. And Butler's very sad because he only signed for $61 million to the Tennessee Titans. And do we have audio of Malcolm Butler talking about this? Here is Malcolm Butler.
I'm pretty sure everyone wants to know the question about Super Bowl 52. Like I said once before, it's just all coaching decision. And I never question anything Bill Belichick makes his decision on. Like I said, made a statement yesterday. I said he benched a four-year vet for a rookie, and that turned out right. And I'm just very grateful and thankful for the opportunity the New England Patriots gave me. They grew me as a player and even more as a person, and I really appreciate it, the crafts, and I just really appreciate the organization.
So there you go. I mean, he is if I got $61 million, I think I would be the better man as well.
Well, and it's not only that he's the bigger man and took the high road, it's that it feels like he was in. Again, we don't know what went down behind closed doors, but it feels like he's been relatively an adult in this whole situation.
Oh, absolutely.
Unlike the head coach, who I don't know how much of an adult he was with this. Like, is he benching Malcolm Butler out of spite? Is he still holding contract negotiations against Malcolm Butler? Butler said, both to Jeff Howe in the Boston Herald and when he was introduced in Tennessee, I think part of the reason they wanted to sit me down is I was sick. And maybe I wasn't as focused in the game plan as I should have been, which is just, if that's something that Bill held against him, being sick, and, you know, maybe he's not as into the game plan early in the week because, I don't know, he's throwing up whatever is going on. For a guy who played 98% of the snaps, this is not a good reason. I mean, we've been through it a billion times, not right. to rehash all of it, but I don't know. It feels like he's been an adult, and I don't know how much of an adult Bill Belichick was this whole time with this decision.
Well, Zolak said that he saw Malcolm Butler. I was listening to Zolak yesterday. He saw Malcolm Butler at the post-Super Bowl party, and Butler was fine. He also said that in pregame, he had watched, you know, like 2 hours of them warming up, and that Butler was all smiles and, you know, listening to music. And, I mean, and then you juxtapose that with him crying on the sidelines, and obviously, I don't know. We've been through it a million
right.
times.
You wonder what happens in between, in other words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just weird. It's just something that no one knows. And if it pisses Zolak off, you know that there's something that's going on. All right. I hope you brought your jester hat, Adam Jones.
Me?
Yes.
I get to my locker, yes.
Yeah, because we are about to take a trip down Comedy Lane.
Oh, boy.
There's a show called Funny You Should Ask that features the talents of Loie Anderson. And Howie Mandel,
great,
who is a big germaphobe.
I was gonna say he doesn't like making contact with other people, shaking hands, things.
Yeah,
of that nature.
And it's funny because once you become rich, you can just completely fall into your anxiety and OCDs because like there's nothing stopping you. It's like chopping his hands off, and he shaved his head.
Yeah,
because of germs,
like Frank. You know, shaved it, no hair, no germs, clean.
Frank Reynolds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
I don't remember.
Toucher.
Oh, my God.
And Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Funny you should ask.
Absolutely correct. Both of you.
Where every question gets a funny answer.
Iguanas can only reproduce 1 month out of the year.
That's because they suffer from erectile dysfunction.
Funny You Should Ask is a half-hour television series that puts the funny back into the game show.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Funny You Should Ask is the future of television. It is a panel of the great comedians of our generation. Now, does this have Howie Mandel and Louis Anderson?
Just Louis today.
Oh.
So it has...
Howie Mandel is off washing his hands.
Giving fist bumps to everybody.
Today is Louis Anderson, John Lovitz, Bill Bellamy, Caroline Ray, Tom Arnold, and Cheryl Underwood, who I was unaware of until I just Googled her.
Murderer's Row.
Yeah. Bill Bellamy is still sticking around in the business.
Getting that VJ money.
All right, so everything I'm going to help you with this, Adam, is that we're going to guess the joke they're going to make. Everything about Louis Anderson is him being fat.
Fat joke.
John Lovitz is just terrible.
It merits mentioning again the worst guest in the history of this program.
Oh, yeah. Terrible how? Like dark? Like terribly dark or just terrible?
Oh, yeah, Lovitz is well known for his gallows humor. How would you describe how Lovitz usually does things?
He usually goes toward like masturbation.
Okay.
It's kind of his realm.
Okay. Got it. Right. Yeah. Kind of one lane.
Yeah. He's not really funny.
Got it.
Yeah.
And then this woman, are we using this woman at all?
Oh, yeah. She's very sassy.
Okay. So she's like full of sass.
Oh, yeah. Sass. She doesn't need no man.
All right.
Well, okay. Who does?
Okay.
Well, count me out of that conversation because I certainly do. All right, Mike Lockhart. So we will go around the room and we will try to guess what the punchline is to these jokes.
Yeah. So let's start off with Cheryl Underwood.
Mm. A high quality diamond can actually be created from the ashes of your loved one.
She's going to go like, okay, it's going to be something about. Like, my last boyfriend, I made a rock or something like that. She's going to say that she had a boyfriend that she didn't like, and she made something far less than a diamond out of them.
Oh, I see. See, I was going to go, again, I don't know a lot about this sassy lady. You know, my last boyfriend, I was going to go darker like she, I don't know, got violent with him.
Yeah, I was,
and,
yeah.
It's not that kind of show.
No.
It's too dark, very vanilla.
Yeah, oh, all right. Got it. I see.
My last boyfriend was so nasty.
Killing your boyfriend would be that.
There's probably not going to be murder in this episode.
Okay.
This is daytime television. All right. My last boyfriend was so nasty. If I would have made something out of him, it would have been some garbagey.
After he cheated on me and I stole all his money.
All right, let's take a listen. Oh.
A high-quality diamond can actually be created from the ashes of your loved one.
Yep, and it's just a matter of time before I get that engagement ring.
All right.
Yep. That's what you're looking at here.
And we're off.
A lot of that.
We are off.
What's the joke?
Exactly.
Now you're catching on, Jones. Maybe it'd be better now. Sometimes it's
frustrating because there is no joke.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I feel like she should have gone the murder route there. That in retrospect.
After I lit him on fire.
Yeah.
That's
right. Exactly.
All right. So what else do we have?
All right, let's go to Louis Anderson.
All right, Louis.
Now we're real.
This is the last event in the decathlon.
Wait, the last event in the decathlon. Me taking a nap.
Me watching TV? I don't know.
Eating.
What is the last event in the decathlon?
Turning off my TV.
Turning off the TV.
Yeah. Okay.
I see. Turning off.
He was turning off the television.
Yeah, I thought he'd want to turn it on and really, really sink into the couch and...
For 5 years.
Yeah.
I have a young comic staying at my house. All right, so what is next?
All right, let's go to Tom Arnold.
Okay.
True or false? According to USA Today, 70% of people repeat their mistake.
Oh, boy. 70% of people repeat their mistakes.
This is Tom Arnold?
Yeah, I was going to say
he's made a lot of mistakes.
I got an idea about this.
Right.
And I've made 70. I've made 70 in the last year.
True, because I've relapsed. I don't know.
It has to do with.
I don't know that he's going to want to bring that up about himself, but that's what I'd say.
No, it has to do with all of his marriages, and there's going to be a Roseanne joke in there somewhere.
No, he's not going to do Roseanne. He's going to go, I made 70%. I've made 70 mistakes in the last month.
All right, let's go, Tom Arnold.
True or false? According to USA Today, 70% of people repeat their mistakes.
You're telling me? I've been married 4 times, man. John with the marriage.
Whoa. John. No, because John
if there's anyone who knows about this.
Divorce. John has been divorced.
It would be me.
You see. So John has been divorced.
Yes.
So that's a big push button for him.
Knows how to spin a joke.
Yeah.
In his favor. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
All right, should we go back to Louis?
Oh, absolutely.
He's in the front row.
Okay.
All right, Louis Anderson.
Louis, please tell us what name is given to someone who studies volcanoes up close.
Oh, dummy.
Yeah, he's not going to have a name for long.
Wait, what is the question again?
What do you call someone who studies...
It's Louis.
Yeah. Fried chicken.
What do you call... I'm sorry, I missed...
Someone who studies volcanoes up close.
Stupid.
You'll take stupid. I'll go fried chicken.
Louis, please tell us what name is given to someone who studies volcanoes up close.
Extra crispy.
There you go.
Nice job.
Me and Louis share a mind. Great minds.
Should we go back to Louis for one more?
I could do Louis all day, man. I'm in Louis' head. I know where he's going.
Yeah, you can just do this game with Louis Anderson.
I would like it more if we just did the game with Louis Anderson.
How often does each guy get a question or gal get a question? Like 4 or 5 times an episode?
Yeah.
About?
Yeah.
Okay.
This show is only on for about 4 minutes. Then they go to commercial, come back for 4 minutes, go to commercial. Not a lot of airtime.
Did they actually ask John Lovitz anything?
They did. It was so bad. It was just not even worth it. All right, let's go back to Louis.
Hey, according to Johns Hopkins magazine, where is human skin the least sensitive?
Oh, boy. Where is human skin the least sensitive? It's got to be something about food.
See, it can't be gut or belly. That's too obvious.
But no. You see,
that's the magic of this. Yeah, but...
That was going to be my guess.
I'd imagine his...
Bobes. No, where is it the least sensitive? Because it could be a play on sensitive. Oh, boy. When's it the least sensitive? He's going to make a joke about being sensitive.
My backside, because there's so much of it.
It's going to be something about being sensitive. Where is your skin the least sensitive? What is something that you can get roughed up? Like
something that gets roughed up? Like your knee?
Yeah, when the young comics come over. okay, where is skin the least sensitive? I don't know. I don't know. Go. I can't think of anything.
Get anything?
Go with his backside, because there's a little extra.
No, go stomach. That means I can eat everything.
Hey, according to Johns Hopkins magazine, where is human skin the least sensitive?
In a coffin.
Yeah.
Huh.
He went morbid with that.
Yeah.
That was a rare non-fat joke.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why I want to die.
When you're pushed.
Stuck the landing there. That was good.
I'm going to have to find some muscle men to carry my can.
Could you have one more if you want it?
Is it Louis?
It's Bill Bellamy.
Oh, yeah. All right. Just give me one more.
Okay.
According to a recent Gallup poll, over 50% of smokers here in the U.S. feel discriminated against.
Well, Bill Bellamy?
Bill Bellamy.
Try walking in my shoes.
Yeah, something along those lines.
But something about black lung disease.
Oh.
According to a recent Gallup poll, over 50% of smokers here in the U.S. feel discriminated against.
Yeah, black lungs matter.
I'm impressed.
This is my day.
This is your day.
You
got two.
I'll never be good at this again, but for this day, I scored.
Well, we got like 3 out of 6.
Black lungs matter.
That's right.
There you go.
The Louis Anderson thing, I just had no ideas. I'm a little ashamed of myself.
Well, in fairness, it was tough to spin into a fat. Even he couldn't spin it into a fat joke.
Yeah.
Well, kind of, though.
Well.
Bad and death. And
hey, young comedian, can you help me punch up these jokes?
I'll be over here in my
be in a bathroom.
Half-open robe.
Oh, you're showering. I didn't know. I couldn't hear the water.
That's what you were doing in there.
Yeah. We will return. I said some things that raised controversy yesterday. I don't know why. I don't know what I did that was so wrong.
You've got the people... The people fired up.
I got some people fired up.
You did. You really did.
So we will have that for you. But first, the headlines. Song was never released because they couldn't score the sample right.
Souls of Mischief, right?
It is. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Talking to Jones off the air yesterday, and I thought I had a great idea for a documentary, and I think it would play here. It would play everywhere because Boston sports fans are kind of notorious.
Yep.
So I said there's a group of anonymous Boston sports fans that spend an inordinate amount of time attacking the local media, and I said, wouldn't it be fun to find out who some of these people are and then make a documentary about their lives? And I think it would be interesting. You know, big fan, the Patton Oswalt movie about like the callers. Would you be interested, say you're not on sports radio, would you be interested in finding out the lives of a group of people that were hyper-focused on sports media?
It's like, it's just people hyper-focused on anything, right? Like King of Kong. You just like whether you have an interest in that or not, it's interesting to follow around like the personalities that go into
it. It's like an odd thing. It's something that's interesting. It's something that not everyone does, like the lives of people that are obsessed with Boston sports media. So I put that out. Well, apparently I'm getting killed at WEEI. In fact, their hockey writer said that I was not punk rock.
Oh, hey, really?
Oh, now, hey, that's below the belt.
Do you know that Jello Bean, and by the way, you can hear this all on EEI coming up in probably about 5 minutes because they have someone monitoring our show.
Uh-huh.
Because, again, the balls.
So my question is this, is that Minahan has a problem with me wanting to do this. Now, intern Nick sent me something interesting.
Oh.
One of the trolls put up, I'll get it for you right now. If you would, Josh, please do not show my phone. I'm putting my code in. I'm on Instagram at Fred Toucher. Because if I'm on sports radio and the sports media, what do I care if I want to do this? Like, what does it matter to you? Unless you're afraid that I might find something that you don't want to be found. So I hop on there, and intern Nick sends this to me. Where the hell is my Instagram on this thing? Did I erase Instagram?
Oh, no. Well, you're off Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter.
So did you get rid of the Instagram too?
No, I had it on my phone earlier. Let me see if I can find it here. But so I thought, like, why would anyone care? I mean, it's like my it's like an idea that I have. What does it affect you?
You're spending your money on it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm joking around about the private investigator and everything. So I see this this guy W2 Felger.
Yes.
But Toucher is going to hire.
He's got a hilarious shtick, by the way, the W2
Felger.
He's
kind of lost that, it seems. He says Toucher is going to hire private investigators to find a crew to go after the Boston sports media. Well, I can't read it. He also thinks we are one person. He did that at 11:14. At 11:16, Minahan put, wait, is that actually true? So it took him 4 minutes to read a troll's message.
No, not even. You said 11:14 to 11:16.
Yeah,
right?
11:14. You can look at it at Fred Toucher. Nick sent me the screenshot. So can you explain to me, A, if I'm Kirk Minahan, and you can hear this all on EEI coming up in a moment, but I'm really not mad at all. But if I'm Kirk Minahan, why would I possibly care? You can say I'm thin-skinned and everything like that, but and fine, maybe I am. But I'm fascinated by these people's lives, and I stated it yesterday. I said they could all be, you know, they could be lawyers, they could be anyone. But why would I care? Like, if I found out Minahan wanted to make a documentary about this, I wouldn't care. And can you explain to me, and please do, please, because I don't know about how things work on Twitter, but if a troll put a message up saying that I said I was going to hire private investigators to find something, and by the way, you can hear this on EEI again, and I imagine that it will be done in like kind of like a, what's Fred talking about, and I think he's going to go calm on this one when they play this audio back.
Yep. These are the media instincts coming through. You were telling me about the media instincts yesterday.
I'm thinking it's not going to be a yeller.
Got it.
But my question is, and first of all, two honest questions. Feel free to answer and be negative. What would you care if you heard someone at EEI wanted to make a documentary about guys that spend, you know, 10 hours a day hyper-focused on Boston sports media?
Well, no, but in fairness, does his tweet mean that he cares? Like, is he like, wait, well, is he serious?
Well,
like,
apparently they went after me on the air.
Oh, so they were talking about it on the show today?
Yes.
Oh, got it, okay.
And so, like, why?
I see, because the tweet itself is somewhat, but it's like, wait, is that serious? Maybe
right,
you're just
like, maybe it's a good
it.
Idea, right, maybe right, this right. is a deal.
So they went after you on the air?
Yeah, apparently.
I got
so,
it.
Why would you guys care if you found out Rich Keefe wanted to make a documentary about these people?
Well, first of all, everyone loves Keefe, so he doesn't have to deal with that.
Well, yeah,
you do, I do. The people love you at night, Jones, so maybe not you. Felger, I'm sure, gets it, Mash.
But
everyone on both stations has some version of this.
Wouldn't you be somewhat interested?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's a universal thing. If you're on the air, you have your people who criticize you.
And again, and Minahan's a fine guy, and I get along with him when I meet him. Why, can you tell me this? If a troll puts something on Twitter, how can I react to that 2 minutes later?
Well, you'd have to follow that person.
Yeah, but then, so I'm on Twitter, and it pops up on my timeline, and in 2 minutes, I get that information out?
I mean, yeah, but that's why would you be following, outside of the hilarious World War II shtick, why are you following WW2 Felger?
No, but like, if I follow people on Twitter, like, I don't, unless I'm, I don't know. Like, if I say he follows 300 people on Twitter.
I see what you're saying.
How would he know?
How do you know it's true, in other words?
No, how, within 2 minutes of, how do I see something, like, that was posted 2 minutes before I react to it?
You'd have to follow that person.
Yeah, but what am I on Twitter all day?
I mean, I guess I don't know when was it? It was right after the show.
No, 11, it was like 11 something.
Yeah, so I mean, you'd have to be on your phone. Yes.
Yeah,
so you'd have to be on Twitter on your phone. Yes.
Right. So it's odd. I think there might be a twist to this whole thing. In that.
So this is developing from yesterday. You had a theory yesterday. You're kind of expanding your purpose.
Yeah,
now it would seem
to me if you're taking this personally, and you don't like the idea, and you react to a troll inside of 2 minutes, right when that's put up on the internet. You know, you're someone who has had it. You know, you spent a lot of time. You were angry at the Boston media. It seems like, I mean, he answered one of the guys that's one of the trolls. They seem to like him a lot. The fact that you care and then you answered that and then you came after me on the radio. Odd.
Odd. So you're saying, you know, what do you care? Why does it bother you? And then on top of that,
you answered someone inside of 2 minutes, which I don't know how the hell that happens. I don't know. Maybe he'll explain it because they'll play this audio right after this.
Right.
And I'm not mad at him at all.
You're trying to...
I'm just trying to figure things out. I think it would be an interesting documentary. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not.
It's hitting a little close to home is what you're saying, maybe. Maybe it's hitting a little close to home.
Yeah. I wouldn't care if he was doing it. And I don't know how you get back to someone inside of 2 minutes. It's interesting.
I'm a little disappointed you're not really going to do the private investigator now.
Well, I might do everything. I don't know. It's my idea.
So you're not totally ruling it out. It sounded like you were backing away from the private investigator.
No, I was kind of looking forward to that myself.
I would have to find out who the people are to make the documentary.
Right. I thought maybe you had another avenue to do that. I thought you were saying all of a sudden you could sleuth it out or you didn't need the private investigator.
I don't know. Everyone seems to be mad at me. I mean, the EI seems to be mad at me. I mean, some kid says I'm not punk rock.
Well, that probably does cut deep, I would imagine.
Well, you know Jello Biafra from the Dead Kennedys was a soccer writer. George, go ahead.
Yeah, Toucher, this may be why you're not on Twitter anymore. You don't seem to know how it works. If someone mentions you, like, at Fred Toucher or whatever... Someone could actually make like an alert on their cell phone or on their tweet deck.
It didn't say at Fred Toucher.
Oh, well.
And it didn't say at Kirk Minahan at all.
Yeah, I think.
If it mentions your name.
No, no. Like it didn't Fred mention Toucher. It didn't mention his name or my name.
Well, that's kind of strange then.
I swear to God, go to at Fred Toucher on Instagram. It does not mention me or him.
Well, the tweet has to mention you.
No, it's not at
no,
Fred
no,
Toucher.
No, exactly. But it mentions your name. It doesn't, but it doesn't say at Fred Toucher.
Okay,
I know what you're saying.
So if it mentions just Toucher, he gets an alert every time it says Toucher?
That would be strange.
I don't think that's possible.
Yeah.
So I mean, you can hear their explanation. It will be on in moments. But because they have our show hardwired into their system, according to Jimmy Stewart. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just curious about the anger. I'm curious about getting back to someone inside of 2 minutes. You know, they have a guy at that station.
See,
that,
the more I hear you talk, the less I feel like you need the private investigator. I feel like you're
yeah, I'm sniffing around.
Yeah, you're sniffing around.
They have a guy at their station that got in trouble because he was anonymously texting hate at Chuck Perks.
Just Chuck Perks.
Just Chuck Perks.
over and over again.
So that's my two cents. I'm just giving you the facts. And you can look at Fred Toucher and you can look at everything. And Nick gave me the screenshot because I don't know how to do it. And I wasn't planning on mentioning Minahan or anything else. But apparently I've been getting the what for. So you can go listen to what they have to say about it. This snow is bananas. It's coming up. Intern Nick went on out during the storm and told people how bananas the snow was.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here we go, third take. Real quick, Ali. Got me breathing with dragons. I cracked the egg in your basket, you bastard. I'm Marilyn Manson with madness. Now just imagine the magic. I like to ask this. Don't ask for your favorite rapper.
He did.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. One final thing about the Twitter thing and Minahan being mad at me is that there's been two explanations. One is that apparently you can have it alert you when someone's name is mentioned, so he would have to, I guess, have an alert every time my name is mentioned.
Right, because there was nothing, there was no tweet about Kirk at any point.
No.
It was just,
he's not mentioned at all.
It was a tweet out of the blue about you. Did it use your first name or your last name? That's irrelevant. Whatever. So
it says, I'll tell you this.
It's got to be your last name, I would
say. It
says
Toucher.
Yeah.
Is going to hire private investigators.
So I'm not saying that he would have an alert set up for the name Toucher, but that would be, if you did, that would be really strange.
And then someone says, well, he follows the troll guy, and then
right, that was sort of my explanation.
Yeah, but within 2 minutes you respond to that? Like,
yeah, I mean,
I follow people on Instagram. I don't know what the hell they're Instagramming until I go to Instagram.
Right.
And second of all, why are you following them?
Well, that's a good question.
Like, why are you following them?
Okay, well,
your friends?
Again, well, no. Well, probably for the hilarious World War II shtick, I would imagine.
But that shtick doesn't exist.
No. It never really did, and
I'm sure they can play our audio all day, and they can huff and puff, and they're probably going to say, oh, he's so sensitive, and oh, he can't take it. Sure, why not? Very sensitive.
See, the joke was if Felger were a talk show host during World War II.
Which seems like it would be an okay premise, but that's kind of not happening.
No, that's long gone.
Yeah.
That lasted for a good week.
But I just don't know why you would care, and I don't know how you get back to a tweet. I mean, everyone's giving this information. I don't care if you get 85 notifications. When I don't know how within 2 minutes you respond to something, unless you're that person. That's all I know.
Or friends with those people.
Yeah.
Associates.
I would say it's the latter.
Yeah.
That you're friends with the people. Dave, go ahead. And then the guy got back to him like in 2 seconds. And he's like, it's out there. Here's the audio. It's at the 15-minute mark. And then another guy was like,
15:30-something.
Yeah, the other guy's like, oh, boy. And I'm like, why are you down with all these guys? They seem to certainly like you. Well, you're the guy they like.
That's probably the answer.
Listen, all I know is they like him, and that this mother effer got back to that guy's lickety-split.
Real quick.
Lickety-split. And he cares, apparently, that I would want to make a documentary about this. Which I have no idea why you would care. At all. Unless...
maybe he wants to watch it. Maybe he's just like, that's interesting.
I don't think that's the thing.
No,
I think, I
no,
think
you
it's...
don't, you don't think that's
I,
it?
I think it rubs him the wrong way, that I would like to know who some of these people are.
Boy, that's interesting. Maybe I'll check that out.
No. I'm not getting that vibe. Okay. I think it's more like, you know, oh, Fred's such a pussy, and oh, he doesn't want to do this.
Yeah.
And to that, I would say, okay, but why do you care? Unless...
it's getting a little close. It's hot under these lights, eh, Seinfeld?
All right, Dave, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, what's up?
So yesterday I called, sorry I hung up earlier, but I wanted to talk about the Fabulous Moolah controversy.
Big controversy they're going to have in WrestleMania or something. They're going to have like a Fabulous Moolah match.
Yes, that's correct. It's all the women wrestlers in this over-the-top rope big thing, and the reason it was such a big deal was that it was named after Fabulous Moolah, who... in reality, was a horrific person. Not only was she stealing money from all these women wrestlers that she was, I guess, managing, but she was also literally pimping them out to better her stance in all these wrestling companies back in the day. But as of yesterday, they have actually got rid of the name, and now it's just the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal.
Oh, so they got rid of the moolah.
Yeah, the apparently Snickers, who's one of the big sponsors for WrestleMania this year, actually complained about it publicly and said that we're going to be talking to Vince McMahon about this, and they changed that name real quick.
All right, well, listen, the Fabulous Moolah was nothing if not beautiful.